Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful morning that we get to gather together and sing your praise and sing how thankful we are for who you are. And so as we sing this morning, as we pray this morning, we ask that you open our hearts to be changed, transformed by the preaching and teaching of God's word. Bless Brother Cal as he brings that to us this morning. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. We're going to be in Philippians 2 this morning, so you be finding that if you will. D-Now weekend has been just off the chain. We need to just say a word of thanks to our own Lauren Henderson for helping put that together. And couldn't do D-Now with all the other, you know, workers and volunteers. And I was over at First Baptist for a couple of the sessions yesterday, and man, I was blessed. Had a young lady come up to me, and she said, "You were my Disciple Now leader in 1987. And what she said made it all work. She said, "Me and my husband have been hosting Disciple Now in our home for 18 years. So you never know what you're doing, pouring into the lives of young people. And so I'm just thrilled to see all of our, and you kids that weren't able to be here for D-Now, it's okay. We're with you. All right? Doesn't mean that you're some kind of second-class citizen. Just get on board with us next year. All right? This is a big year here at this church. Y'all, we're going to be beginning our seventh year as a church family, March the 25th. We got a big anniversary, big homecoming, whatever you want to call that coming up. And I'm just looking forward to especially these next several weeks. We're finishing up the last sermon on our breakthrough series on humility this morning. And so if you have found Philippians chapter 2, would you stand as we honor God's word? We'll start there, Philippians 2. Verse 1 is always a good place to start. Well, I can go back to chapter 1 and start there if y'all don't want to. All right. Verse 1, chapter 2. Therefore, is there any consolation in Christ? If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Key word there. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And I want to focus this morning on verses 3 and 4 and following. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Can I get a witness? David Fry, ask God to bless the word this morning, would you?
Your Heavenly Father, Lord, in something all I was doing, Lord, is humility. But just ask you, Lord, be with us this morning, God. And everyone, Lord, in this congregation.
Yes, Father.
Bless all of the interest, Lord, each and every one of these, God. Lord, let us be the light of this world, Lord. Touch the last ones, study your word, and Lord, pray and serve the gallery. Lord, let me just work it down. I'll pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Back several years ago, I remember an advertisement for BVD underwear. I'm showing my age. How many of y'all remember BVDs? A few of you. Now, girls, that was guys' underwear, okay? But I'll never forget the advertisement of the spokesman that was really pushing and promoting BVD underwear said, other than myself, I like BVDs the best. And of course, I understood what he was saying there, that, you know, he was really like BVD underwear. The only thing he liked better than BVD underwear was himself. And that attitude, that mindset is very, very prevalent today, so much so that it's not even contested. let me say it like this. God, if we're going to follow the Lord, God expects us to consider others better than ourselves. We're to be about the business of lifting others up, of meeting other people's needs, putting other people's needs before our own. And, how do I say this without really being crass? For instance, unbelievers, people who do not know Christ, well, naturally, what are they going to do? They're going to put themselves first, others second, and God last. But as followers of Christ, guess what? Yeah, we're to put God first, others second, and ourselves last. And caring for others, brothers and sisters, is really at the heart of a relationship with God. It really is. It's other-centered. And that's what we're talking about this morning. It takes humility to do what he's telling us to do here in verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, consider others better than yourselves. Let us look not only to our own interest, but also to the interest of others. It takes humility to do that. Say that word with me, humility. And so this morning I want to take a look at the example that's been set for us in humility. Now, Jesus told us, and he modeled humility for us, didn't he? But he told us there in Matthew chapter 25 that we're to feed the hungry, that we're to give those who are thirsty a drink, that we're to clothe the naked, that we're to visit the prisoner, that we're to take care of the sick and the lonely, that we're to help the poor, that we're to meet the needs of others. And he said, when you do it unto the least of these, you've also done it to whom? That's right. And so it takes humility to accomplish this task. And so I want us to take a look at this is the last sermon in this breakthrough series on humility, and I pray that we get it. Young people, y'all yesterday heard about, you know, your identity in Christ and who you are and who God's created you to be, and, you know, God's all about design and purpose and all of that. And for us to understand who we are in Him takes humility. I know you got that yesterday. And so today, we're going to look at our example of humility. Now, caring for others is at the heart of a right relationship with God. It really is. Caring for others is at the heart of a right relationship with God. If you're right with God, you're going to want to meet the needs of others. And then conversely, Rebellion against God is inextricably linked to a blatant disregard of others. Y'all with me so far? And I've got an example of that too. Satan. Do you know what his name was before he became Satan? Lucifer. Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's just roll with this. Run over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel, y'all know where Ezekiel is? All right. Ezekiel 28. Now, the chapter begins with talking about a political power, the Prince of Tyre, a literal city, literal person. But as you begin to move through Ezekiel 28, you soon realize that you're looking at and talking about a far more sinister personality. The one that he's talking about here is the King of Tyre, who is the power behind the throne, if you will. And he begins to, and Ezekiel begins to describe God's, this angel who was the highest order of angelic creation that God ever created. Watch this. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 14, you are the anointed cherub who covers, I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Say, uh-oh. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. And so, in the beginning, Lucifer, the son of the morning, was this beautiful angelic creation, most gorgeous creature, oozing with charisma, dripping with personality. He was very gifted. He was talented. He was gorgeous, had great wisdom. An amazing, amazing creature. But he wound up in sin. And that sin that he committed was the sin of pride. And he is the example of what it means to let go and not care and have concern for others. And the fall of Lucifer was great. And so I want you to see, he committed the sin of pride, and it is the example of us, for us today, in this thing we call pride. Turn with me now to Isaiah. You get a little bit more of this picture, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Now watch this. Watch this. Now we're going somewhere with this, y'all. Just hang with me, okay? Say, I'm hanging. We're going somewhere with this. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, now watch this, listen to this, lean in. Here we are. You ready? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths. But God said, okay, you want to come up? It's down you go. And this is the fall. This is how Lucifer turned into Satan through the sin of pride. He wanted to ascend to the throne of God. And he says five times, what I want, what I will, I will, I will, I will. You see, what's going on here is, rather than asking God to just kind of move over and share the throne with him, what do you want to do? He wanted to take over the throne. He wanted to become He was the worship leader in heaven, the great minister of music of heaven. It was his responsibility to lead in the worship of God, to lead the creation in worship of God. But he wanted more than that. He wanted to be worshiped as God. He wanted to take over the throne. Pride will, man, it'll wear you out. The only direction that pride will take you in is this way. Y'all with me? Now, a question, this came to my mind. You know, when you're reading your Bibles, you need to ask questions. That'll be a good Bible study for you if you'll do that. But do you see what he calls God in verse 14? He says, I will be like the Most High. The Most High. You know, and I asked myself, why didn't Isaiah use another title like the Redeemer or the Savior or the Creator or the Comforter or the Resurrection? And why did he use that title for God? I've got an answer for you. If you go back to Genesis 14, we're going somewhere. Y'all just hang with me, okay? In Genesis 14, Abraham has just won a great victory over four pagan kings and rescued and delivered his backslidden nephew, Lot. You can read about that. And so this strange character, this figure, shows up out of nowhere in Genesis 14 with bread and wine. And he and Abraham sit down and they enjoy communion together. Now, I believe Melchizedek is an Old Testament appearance of our New Testament Savior. He's described, Melech means king. Zedek means righteousness. He was also described as the king of Salem, Shalom, king of peace, king of righteousness. Who else qualifies for that? His name is Jesus. And so Jesus shows up and he says, blessed be Abram, God of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And so from the very beginning, God is called El Elyon. You with me? He is God Most High, and there is no other. And yet Satan, Lucifer, wanted to be the Most High God. And he wanted to overthrow the throne room. He wanted to sit on the throne of heaven. And so mighty and great was his fall. And he's led billions of others in that same fall. And you see, the sin of pride, selfish ambition, conceit, it applies right here. And so be very, very careful with I, me. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't about me. It's about him. All right, so that is the example for us in selfish ambition and conceit. Arrogancy, that's what caused Lucifer to become Satan and get booted out of heaven. And by the way, that was the sin of Adam and Eve. Well, first of all, Eve, because she thought, if I just take a little bit of that forbidden fruit, I'm going to be and think like God. You go read about all this. It's there. So, I want us to focus more so this morning on a positive example of humility. And of course, you know who that is. Who is that? Jesus. That's right. So let's go back to Philippians 2. Are you with me? All right. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of humility. That's what he's been talking about. And listen to this description here of the mindset of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus is our example in humility in every way. Now, I want you to just kind of get on the internet of your imagination. What a stretch for some of us. And I want us to just try to imagine. The first and third Mondays, we meet out at Hilldale Baptist Church at the Deaf Ministry Building. And I'm not a bettor, I don't gamble. But if I were, I would gamble and bet the whole house on Dwight, the first thing Dwight's going to say. You know what he's going to say? We're invited to come into the throne room of God boldly to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to be in the throne room, seated at the right hand of God, and to leave all that majesty and splendor and glory? Can you imagine what that must have been like to come down here into this sin-cursed planet that we live on and commune with gossips and liars and thieves and prostitutes and drunkards and adulterers and all kinds of vile, sinful behavior? Can you imagine what that must have been like? I want to tell you, that took humility. He had to humble himself in order to do that, to take on the form of a man. And then the Bible says that he also took on, he had to lay aside, how does it say this? He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he was fully man. But don't think that he ever ceased to be God. He did not lay aside his deity. He just simply laid aside his garments of glory. From time to time, we got glimpses of the glory. Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of the glory on the mountain, and they never forgot about it. And so he laid aside. He didn't empty himself of his deity, but you know, you couldn't be around this. You couldn't see the Shekinah glory of God and live. You remember what happened when Jesus was transfigured? What did Peter, James, and John do? Boom. They weren't out jumping around saying, hallelujah, glory. No. They were on their faces before God. And out of God's grace, Jesus touched them. And what they saw was unbelievable. And so it took humility to lay all of that to the side for a season. And then it says he took on the form of a man as a bondservant. Do y'all know what a bondservant is? That's a slave. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. A slave, a bondservant. Think about that. He is our example in everything. And then it says, he became obedient. Excuse me, I'm saying that wrong. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, think for a minute with me what it must have taken mocked, ridiculed, scorned, spit upon, laughed at. Scourge, beaten to within an inch of his life. And then had to carry his own cross through Jerusalem outside of the city to Golgotha, to that hill. And then they nailed his body to a cross. And when they lifted that cross between heaven and earth, every joint in Jesus' body became dislocated. And I want to tell you the shame of the cross. He was crucified naked. The pain. Every time, in order to get a breath, man, you had to pull up and come down on the cross. And every time, every movement on the cross sent shoots of fire running up and down his body. Why did he do that? Well, number one, because that's what the Father wanted him to do. But number two, you know why he did that? For us. Because that's what we needed more than anything else, forgiveness. And so he humbled himself and was willing to die. And brothers and sisters, that's the mindset of humility. That's the mindset that it takes to serve others. Can I share something with you that happened this week? I don't know if y'all know about the Salvation Army. Anybody ever been connected with the Salvation Army and their ministry? How many of y'all have rung the bell for Salvation Army at Christmas time? All right. Well, their shelter for homeless people has not been open for a long time. And I don't know exactly why that is, but there's a little lady in the ministry here in our town called Catherine Walker, and boy, she has got a heart for homeless people. And so I pray with about a dozen pastors every Friday morning. And then we had a, just before that, on I think on Wednesday, we'd had a roundtable discussion with the mayors. And Mayor Joe Pitts asked us to pray that somehow we could get this shelter open at the Salvation Army because of all the cold weather and the snow and everything. And so several pastors went over and talked to the guy at the Salvation Army and see what we had to do. Well, their HVAC unit had been shot, but the city was going to buy them a brand new one. They had staffing problems, and so we needed to come up with volunteers. And bless God, this past week, we were able, the Lord did it. He opened up that shelter, so we had between 10 and 12 homeless people that would have had to sleep out in this 9-degree weather. And I called our one of the ladies on our church council. She oversees the hospitality ministry and several other ministries, and so she and her husband went over and bought some chicken dinners. And they're still talking about the peach cobbler that they brought. And her husband took that down there on one of the worst weather-wise evenings that we've had this year and fed those 10 homeless folks. You see, in the middle of freezing temperatures, in the middle of right after this flood that hit us, it's not a good time to have to drop everything and then go volunteer in shifts to stay there. And the Community Action Agency actually vetted the people before you could get into the shelter. Y'all with me? Because you don't want pedophiles in there with, well, I don't need to get off into all that. But we were able to go and minister to people that Jesus said, you need to do ministry with the least of these. And it takes humility to go and do that. And I'm so thankful in our pastor's prayer meeting Friday, and Catherine told me, she said, oh, thank y'all for bringing food. That was the best supper those people have had in a long, long time. And I said, well, it wasn't me. It was one of our dear families in the church that took care of it. And y'all, I could go on and on and on with testimonials about helping folks and putting the needs of others before our own needs. And by the way, that is exactly what Jesus has called us to do. Don't ever think that it's about us. It's not about us. It's about them. And in reality, because it's about them, it's all about Him. That rhymes, by the way. That's a good thing. So, let me wrap this up. And y'all know, whenever you hear a preacher say, I'm closing, that's one of the worst lies you'll ever hear. But sometimes your pastor has trouble landing the plane and doesn't know exactly where to wind up and end up. But the only way that you're going to be able to accomplish this, to take on this mindset of humility, I got three things for you. Number one, You got to be willing to admit that you can't do this on your own. Because our flesh wants to promote self. And our flesh wants to, you know what I'm saying? We want people to see us. We want people to hear our name. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to admit to God, first and foremost, God, I can't live this life of humility without you. I've got to have your strength. I've got to have your power. I've got to have your wisdom. And then number two, we learned this last week, you've got to clothe yourself in humility. How do you do that? By humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. We talked about Moses last week, and we talked about Joseph and how they humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. And when time was right, God exalted him, and he'll do the same for you. And then number three, you not only got to admit that you're a sinner and that you got to have God's help in this area, and clothe yourselves in humility by being submitted and surrendered under the mighty hand, you got to be willing to spend time with Jesus. You got to walk with him and talk with him. I guarantee you, there's folks in this room, and the first time you've even opened your Bible is this morning. God bless you. How in the world do you function without the Word of God? You need to have fellowship with him. And that includes this, and spending time in prayer, gathering with other believers who have a like-mindedness. Let me share this, and I promise I'll be done. There was a Christian Chinese evangelist by the name of McNee, and he told a story of a friend of his in China who just happened to be a Chinese farmer. And he had these rice paddies, these rice fields up on top of this mountain. And in order to get rice to grow, you got to have not only a rice paddy, but you got to have water. And so it was so high, he had to pump the water up to his rice fields. And he'd go do that early every morning, and then every afternoon he'd go up and shut off the pump. Well, one day he went up to check on his rice paddies and the fields and see if the rice was beginning to, you know, produce. And the field didn't have any water in it. And he got to investigating. And here's what he found. He had a neighbor who lived below his rice fields, and that's where his rice fields were. And what this neighbor had done was go pull the dikes up so that his fields could be filled up with water. Well, it kind of ticked the Chinese farmer off, the Christian farmer. And how many of y'all, that would have ticked you off? Yeah, let's just be honest. And so he thought about maybe going up and giving that guy a piece of his mind. But he thought, no. And he came up with a better solution. And here's what he did. Early every morning, he started to go to his neighbor's fields and fill them up first with water. And then once his fields were full, he would pump the rest of the water that he had available up to his fields and his rice paddies. And it wasn't long, just a few weeks later, that this Chinese farmer had the opportunity to lead his neighbor to Christ. And the unbelief of the neighbor was broken by this Christ-like humility and character of the Chinese rice farmer. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let us do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us consider others better than ourselves. Let us not only look to our own interest, but also to the interest of others. Oh, for a breakthrough in humility in 2025. Let's bow our heads together. And here's the key question I have for some of you, really all of you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. In order for you to be saved, in order for you to walk out of here as a believer, a follower of Christ, in order for you to have a relationship with God, you've got to be willing to humble yourself and admit to God that you're a lost, hell-bound sinner. You've got to be willing to do that. And it takes humility to do that, to agree with God as to who you are. And if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and look to Jesus as your only means of salvation today and call on Him to save you with everything that you've got, turn your life over to Him. And I tell you, He'll give you that mindset of humility. And you can walk out of here today a child of the Lord Jesus, a child of the King. And you can be saved. But you've got to do that. Nobody else can do that but you. And today, if you are under conviction and you know that you don't have a relationship with God, you're pretty sure that you're lost, you don't have that sense of security, I want to encourage you right there where you sit right now, just admit to the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner, lost and undone. I have sinned against You and others, and I need Your grace. Save my soul today. You're the only way I can have a relationship with God. Jesus, I'm calling on You to take my life and use me for Your glory. Thank You for saving me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just say to everyone here, you cannot be ashamed of Him before men, or Jesus will be ashamed of you before our Father in heaven. You got to go public with Him. And for that, for some of you, that means coming forward, and we'll get a record of your decision. We'll set up a time to get you baptized. We'll put some materials in your hand as you have begun your new life with Christ. And we'll do that right here. But you've got to come forward. Yeah, you could sign a card, but then we got to go try to run you down. You're already here. And there's people here that will just cry over you and pray over you and thank God for you if you'll come. Some of you here need to do that today. Some of you never been baptized. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Biblically, you need to come today and do that. And you need a church family. Have mercy. You need a church family that'll pray for you and love you and take you on board with them and help you to begin meeting the needs that other people have outside of our church. Oh God, this is Your time. This is Your invitation, Father. And I pray that You would give boys and girls, men and women, the obedience that they need to express in the form of salvation, in the form of forgiveness, in the form of sanctification, getting right with You. There are some here today that just need to come and pray and lay their burdens on You like we did last week. Oh God, pour out Your Spirit in this place. Do what only You can do, Father. Forgive us for just playing games, for just showing up at church. Oh God, it's about a relationship with You. Please, Lord, do what You want to do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Quietly and reverently, let's stand our feet. The altar's open, and you need to come. Disciple Now, host home parents, others, you come.
You guys, this is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.